Jesus' disciples are in conflict with John the Baptist's disciples over who people should go to in order to be baptized. And let's just take a look at some of these verses together. John chapter 3, verses 22 through 26 says, "After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized." Now, I'm going to stop right here. If you look in your footnotes, if you have footnotes in your Bible, they will likely say something about that Jesus wasn't the one that was doing the baptizing. His disciples probably were, but they were following what they had seen from John the Baptist. Okay. Now, John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." Again, not Jesus specifically, but those that are with him. The interesting thing, or this is very significant, because John's disciples were placing their identity in John the Baptist. "We are your disciples. We are hanging on to your teachings. And those people over there, they're not doing it right. You got to put a stop to this, John the Baptist, because we are finding our identity in you." And this is a real problem for John the Baptist. He's the one that already has proclaimed, "I need to be less so that somebody else can become greater. I will only baptize you with water, but somebody else will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit." I mean, he's already trying to prepare them because he knows that he's been called to prepare the way of the Lord. And so as much as he's trying to prepare them for that, they just aren't getting it. They are trying to hang on to and get their identity from him, from the man. But John gets it. He understands that they need to be prepared for the Messiah. He wasn't the Messiah. And then he confirms this in the very next verse. "To this John replied, 'A person can only receive what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one who is from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truth, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit." Now, if you want to underline a couple of words, those are the words to underline. God gives the Spirit without limit. There it is. John the Baptist gets it. The Messiah is not going to be identified by what he does, but by who dwells in him. John knew that people needed to see Jesus in that same way. Yeah, he's already identified. There he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, but he doesn't take away the sins of the world because of anything that he does. He does this because of who is indwelling him. The Spirit without limit. All of Jesus' teachings, healings, miracles, all of his modeling of godliness, all of his honesty, all of his humility, all of the love that makes up Jesus' ministry is not based on what he does, but on who is in him. Okay, now I want you to fast forward. Fast forward about 3 years. Jesus' earthly ministry is coming to an end. He has already been crucified. He has already risen from the dead. He has walked on this earth about 50 days. 500 people have seen him. He's back in the land of Galilee, and it is just before his ascension. So we're talking about Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, you find that Jesus is gathering his disciples together and he is giving them some commands. He is telling them basically what he wants them to do. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." And then I want you to notice real quickly, who does Jesus go all the way back to? "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Do you realize that John the Baptist is dead? He was executed. He was executed a couple of years ago. There's a reason that Jesus wanted the disciples to take their minds and to go back to John. Not because he was a martyr, but because he got it. Because he understood. John had been beheaded, so there was no real direct influence there, but he understood something about Jesus' identity that Jesus was now going to instill in every believer. Just as John the Baptist knew that the reason that Jesus was able to do what he was able to do and be who he was able to be was not because of the stuff that he did, but because of who lived in him, the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said, "I want you to go to Jerusalem because you're going to be immersed with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized." That's what the word baptism means, to be completely surrounded by, to be indwelt by. And so I think in their mind, those disciples of Jesus, in their mind, they went back to John the Baptist and they said, "What kind of a spirit was it that Jesus had?" "Oh yeah, limitless." And only those who are indwelt by the limitless Holy Spirit will have the power that they need to do what Jesus wanted them to do. Only those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit will become who God wants us to become. This was not only true for Jesus' disciples, it's true for us. And I know I'm probably repeating everything that Elmer just got done saying, but I think that's fantastic because sometimes we need to be reminded over and over and over again. But if we want to become who God wants us to become, we need to have the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." In order for us to become that child of God, we need to have that Spirit within us in order to be what God wants us to be. We need to have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. One of the tasks of the Holy Spirit is to guard our hearts and to teach us all things. He is there to convict us of our sins. Scripture tells us that he is there to rebuke us. He is, you know, sometimes we call it a guilty conscience. Have you ever felt that? You go, "Oh yeah, well, that's just my guilty conscience." You want to know what it really is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is pricking our consciences so that we know that we have sinned. And sometimes we want to downplay the role of the Holy Spirit. We actually want to make it all about us. My conscience, my psyche, my understanding of what's right and wrong. And we want to take away the power from the Holy Spirit. But in order for us to be who God wants us to be, we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is doing that in us. It is actually the Spirit battling against the weaknesses of our flesh. And as long as we're talking about battles, if we're going to be overcomers, as Scripture wants us to be, because we are in an attack, we are in a battle. Satan is constantly attacking our faith with every weapon that is at his disposal. God makes his power available within his children so that we have the strength and the knowledge to be able to defeat the evil one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." There it is again. It's not because of your righteousness. It's not because of your holiness. It's not because you read the Bible or you go to church. It's because of somebody that is in you. The power of the Holy Spirit. And the last thing that we need to have if we're going to be the kind of person that God wants us to be, if we want to be witnesses, we need to have the Holy Spirit in us. as Jesus was talking to his disciples. He told them what was going to happen. The Holy Spirit would come upon them with great power, and that's exactly what did happen. They went back to Jerusalem, and they were there in the upper room, and they were praying, and 120 people were in that upper room with them. And the Holy Spirit came upon them in a sound like a rushing wind, and visually in tongues of fire that sat on their head. You know the story. You've read that story. But the reason that that happened was so that everything that Jesus promised would happen inside of them could also be demonstrated outside of them. That's the beauty of having the limitless Holy Spirit within us. What Jesus told his disciples would happen did happen. They had great power. They spoke in languages they had never learned. They stood boldly against those who found their identity in their religion. And as you go through the book of Acts, you find that they were able to heal people. They were able to cast out demons. They were able to bring people back to life. And they were able to go to take this gospel message to the Gentiles. They didn't just stand around waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them so that they could put a badge on their chest and say, "Yep, I got the Holy Spirit in me. You know, check that off my bucket list." They realized that the only way that they could be a Christian was not because of what they did, but because of who was inside of them. You see, they preached Jesus as the Messiah in the heart of a culture that was still waiting for the Messiah to come. They were able to withstand persecution. They were able to withstand unjust treatment. Some of them even, like Paul, he was captured, he was jailed, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was left for dead, but because of God's Spirit, he came back. And he came back to preach and to teach. They were able to understand and discern against the false teachers and the false religious people. They were able to understand that even though that they were persecuted, they were living for God. And they could not have done this if they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. So everything that Elmer was saying in his communion address fits hand in glove with the fact that this is who Jesus was. You know, we want to say, yeah, Jesus is love. Jesus is forgiveness. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is all of these things. And all of those things are true, but the only reason that Jesus was able to be those things was because he had the Spirit within him, and that Spirit is limitless. And that's the same Spirit we have. Through his power, my friends, and through his presence in our lives, may we be Jesus to the world. We have a song that we're going to sing as we wrap things up. It's the closing song called Wonderful Merciful Savior. We're just going to sing the second verse. But I want you to realize that as fantastic as it is to be a Christian and to be able to participate and do all of the things that God wants us to do and that he has asked us to do, everything that we have talked about, all of the things that we have encouraged, we can't do unless the Holy Spirit has made us who we need to be. Would you